Good evening, Perry.
I own a motel. Not too far from you. And you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! And I'm the devil.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Necronomicast. My name is Wayne.
This is Lori.
This is Zip.
This is Brian.
I'm Doug.
And we are here today. The topic that we chose for this episode, we thought was pretty funny because it's all about horror comedy.
Yay.
Insert laugh track.
Da, da, da.
That's hilarious.
So horror comedy, one of the things that I think... Starting off with this, and the reason why we chose it is I think somebody was talking about the quality of horror films, and you have to take everything with a grain of salt, and everybody's expecting some movies to be bad, and the majority of them just aren't up to, you know, the horror comedy genre, in my opinion, I think raised the bar for smart horror films. Because if you look back on it, I think a lot of horror films are funny without meaning to be.
Oh, you're right.
But when
they're easy to ridicule,
exactly.
Right.
Well, I was gonna kind of bring that up too, just that this idea that there's horror movies that have little bits of funny bits to them, you know, little jokey jokes here and there. Then we've got comedies that have horror elements, like Ghostbusters is a good example of that. But then there's just horror movies that are so bad that we laugh at them.
Right.
And I don't know if sometimes they do that on purpose or not, but. But the ones that do it on purpose are doing it really well.
The tongue-in-cheek.
Lately, ever since, I don't know, what would be your first horror comedy?
Well, I went back.
Notably, that would have changed the industry kind of like that.
Saturday the 14th was one I remember.
Okay. I went way back to like the Abbott Costello versus Wolfman.
All those kinds
of things. Because, you know, they were like the comic duo of the day.
Yeah.
Totally.
They were the Seth Rogen and James Franco without the weed.
I've never seen it.
Maybe they were. They just were good at hiding.
They never did Abbott and Costello versus Nesferatu. That would have been great.
Right. Or a killer mechanical shark. That would have been awesome.
That would have been even better.
What about Return? We talk about Return of the Living Dead too. So Return of the Living Dead for me was my turning point to horror comedy. We could say.
Well, we have to talk about.
What do we have to talk about now?
No, Ash.
Yeah. Oh, Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. Oh, yeah, and all those. I mean, that's classic horror, and then tongue-in-cheek horror.
Monster Squad.
Just straight up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Monster Squad. Good one.
That was one of mine I loved as a kid.
That's funny. We talked a lot about different horror comedies on this show, and I don't think we've done one. Maybe we probably did it last year, and we're just redoing ourselves.
I forgot last year.
My favorite kind of horror is a horror comedy, a smartly written horror comedy. That's just my all-time favorite. So for me personally, I think we should list some of our top ones and name your top three. Brian.
Well, I would say I really like Return of the Living Dead, the original, and Part Two, but. I was going to say I really enjoyed, it's a newer one, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. And, I would say, you know, we talked about Gremlins the last show. I thought Gremlins was really good. Mm-hmm. Shoot it around. I'll just chime in with what you guys are.
Well, do we want to just make a list or do we want to get into like
quickfire, and then we'll get into some.
Yeah, this will
Cabin
be fun.
In the Woods also the same time.
Yeah, I was going to say Cabin in the Woods is one that I really liked. I just recently saw Zombieland, and that's one where I felt like everybody always talked about how funny, how great that movie was, and I just hadn't seen it. So I just saw it just within the week, and I thought that was pretty fantastic.
That was pretty fantastic.
One I saw recently that was I thought what I really enjoyed was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Which was really good because Pride and Prejudice is really good. Mm-hmm. And they just threw zombies into it.
Yeah,
it's great.
So it's a really good movie. On you know, it's fantastic. It's
and movie. Is it funny?
But it's not supposed to be. It's more just like the ridiculousness of.
It's a little more tongue in cheek than it is.
Yeah.
Straight up funny. But the thing was, I didn't even want to watch it because it's just the whole scene with the with the girls coming down. Yes, they kill. I thought, oh, this is really ridiculous, and I wasn't too happy with Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. But when we watched it, well, I think I've seen it like five or six times now because it actually was really interesting.
Yeah,
it was really interesting the way
they bought it.
Really, yeah. Nice. I mean, I was totally surprised. Totally surprised.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
It's on my list.
Good, good. Nice. I knew you were going to say something about
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, look at the cover. It's a spoof on The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Right.
You know. You
perfect.
Know.
Hilarious.
That's great.
Shaun of the Dead, of course, is another game changer.
Mm. Yeah, well, Ghostbusters is classic. I think you mentioned that, though. That would be on my list.
Creepshow, I was going to say.
Oh, Creepshow. That's good.
This has got some funny, like when Adrian Barbeau is ripping into Hal Holbrook on that whole crate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he just fantasizes all the time about killing her. And I mean, there's some funny shit in there, too. Yeah. And Stephen King when he touches the meteor. And
meteor.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I forgot about that.
Slither is another one.
Yes. Oh, I love that one. You told me to watch that. I thought
you haven't
that
seen
good.
That? Oh, my God.
See it. Yeah, Slither.
It's the best.
Zip to school. Yeah,
yeah, you've got
to
see that. It's the best.
Well, I feel like I went to school with Zombieland for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Zombievers was one that I saw recently God. That was like, this is going to be so bad. And it took a little while. Like, I was ready to shut it off. But I stuck in there like, for me it was, I just got to see when the beaver shows up. I got to see when we actually see it. And it was so funny. The actual zombie beavers really made it.
It was
they
worth
were
it.
So funny. And then also right. Any of the scenes where they look out the door and there's just the eyes along the ground. There's all these glowing eyes. Everywhere. So funny.
Zombie beavers.
I didn't see that. We might have
that's
to go.
Oh, also with zombievers, if you watch through the end of the credits, there is a hint at a sequel of zombies. They don't say it.
No way.
But it's bees like biting or like stinging or going around like a dead beaver and then going back to the hive right. and infecting the rest of the hive with them.
Nice.
Well, so there's genius. The line. I mean, so let's talk, and then we can talk. I mean, even like the Sci-Fi Channel and
where, like Sharknado. Oh, right.
When it turned, so there's two different types of comedy, horror comedy like that. I mean, you've got the horror comedy that is smartly written, that is genuinely funny, well developed characters, in a story that actually has some nice twists to it, and you know, and then you have Sharknado.
Well, Zombievers fits.
And Zombievers, right. Yeah. So when is it? Is that supposed to be funny? I mean, you know they're doing it tongue-in-cheek, but what's the difference, do you guys think?
I think it's more supposed to be funny than it is supposed to be a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because there could also be, like, gore and no scares. Now, you take something like American Werewolf in London, which I think is a laugh riot in parts, but it's also scary
really
as hell.
Gory.
It's pretty scary.
It's pretty scary at the beginning when they're walking around the
moors.
Yeah. And
oh
then
my God,
the gore
yeah.
with Jack when he's all tore up.
Well, yeah, the dead people that keep
and his
haunting
dream sequences.
Him.
Yeah,
those are
yeah.
all terrible.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't
right.
think of that as a horror comedy, but then with the director and you look at different things that he's done, you know, it must be.
Well, his friend that was talking to him, I had a few really good one-liners in there, and it made it.
It really crosses.
Funny.
You remember that, so I think it's not like it's funny all the way through.
Right.
By any stretch, but,
right.
but
it's
his appearance.
It's dark.
When I think of that movie, I think of the friend. The friend that's mm-hmm. dead, that
yeah.
keeps decomposing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so that made such an impact on that movie. Now we kind of think of it as, that movie had some charm to it because it had this little funny element, very sliver of a funny element. But
yeah. Is it funnier now that it's from the 80s and we've had, you know, we're able to digest it, or was it scarier back then? I mean,
I was a kid, so I thought it was,
I thought it was really scary.
Well, I just saw it for the first time since we started this podcast.
Oh, that's true.
But, because that was
it was like one of
the
first
school,
things that I did from my part.
Because that's one of my favorites.
Well, I like the,
my
favorite part was, of course, the nurse. You know, from
Low Nurse.
Man. And that was at a time in my teen years that I was, when I watched The Howling and read the book, like I said before, it was hello.
Oh.
It was a hard summer.
I'm gonna turn on the water and wash my hands because, you're just like, because there was real, I don't know, they were, I don't know, she's pretty hot though.
It was
dude.
It was titillating.
Oh, it was. That mixed with the terrifying, werewolf and the transformation scenes and, first they're having sex, like in The Howling, they're having sex and all of a sudden they start, they got transforming. So I'm turned on kind of, I think, because I'm only 13 or 14. And then, but I'm also terrified. So I don't know.
It's definitely arousing.
Yeah.
It's definitely arousing.
Get aroused or shit your pants. I'm not sure which one. Which one came first? I don't know.
wrong one. Yeah. So going back to what you said earlier, is it scary? with some humor thrown in, or is it totally cheesy? Mm-hmm. Like Tucker and Dale versus Evil, movie with a lot of heart. I don't mean to say it's cheesy, but there was so much like I appreciated the gore,
right?
Hilarious. And there's so much funny shit in that movie.
It's smart,
but then somebody's getting a machete in the neck, you
right?
Know?
Exactly.
Yeah, but there's a difference between comedy and camp. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be it. You've got a horror comedy that's different than a horror campity, or however you want to say it.
You make that
those
up.
Kind of that are they're not that are kind of not taking themselves seriously, and they're doing it just because the lowest. Well, that was going to sound bad. Lowest common denominator person is me. Oh, dude, that was funny.
Right.
Well, I could totally eat that dude, and he came out of it with a chainsaw. I'm totally give. My right eye to do that.
He's got more beer on his face again.
Remember when we were talking with Tom McLaughlin a few episodes back, a couple of years ago, when we interviewed him, the director of Part 6 of Friday the 13th, and he was like, can I do a couple things with the script? And they're like, just don't make Jason has to be scary. He's like, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, he did all the little sight gags and things like that and still didn't put the jokes on Jason, in other words.
Well, let's go back to Nightmare on Elm Street. Second one, and even the first one had a lot of one-liners. You know, Robert Englund, I think, eventually started doing more of those
as you get all that story.
He became more of a cult hero, too.
Yeah.
Right. You get all that story in that documentary, that epic documentary. But the
20 hours.
It is. It was epic.
Crazy.
You get all the information. But that was scary, and it was also, but it wasn't meant to be a horror comedy by any means.
No,
that was straight up some
scary
shit.
There's a lot of years there, I think. Well, like you said, it goes back to Abbott and Costello. It goes way back.
Yeah, because they legitimately tried to make, because it was a vehicle for the Universal Monsters,
right?
Mm-hmm. But it was also a vehicle for Abbott and Costello, who were, you know, they were making major coin for them studios back then for Universal. And then when they decided, hey, let's put them together, you know, I remember like a Costello, he was the kind of not the straight man. That was Bud Abbott was the straight guy.
Abbott
Costello
was
the silly guy.
Abbott.
He's sitting there, like hyperventilating. I'm like, you know, because he sees Dracula's coffin open up, and he's trying to. And Abbott's like, "Quit fucking around." You know, didn't say that, but I mean, he's the 50s. He's like, "Quit messing, quit squirreling around there. Let's get around. We got to get this done."
What are you talking about?
Yeah. So I mean, it was legitimately they didn't try to make Dracula silly, you know, like what was the movie where Dracula's dancing around doing he did a disco?
Oh, Blackula?
No.
What's the guy with Blackula the suntanned guy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Hamilton,
George Hamilton was once bitten.
Once, but no.
Oh, shit, that was Jim Carrey.
Yeah, that was Jim Carrey. Oh, God. But it was one.
We're going to have to look this up now.
I'll look it up when somebody else is talking about it.
There's people screaming at their phones right now.
They're
like,
you idiots. It's
you
all
idiots.
Two people, like my mom and maybe one other person.
No. But he's like, you know, they try to make Dracula as a joke, you know, and then he's drinking the blood of a hobo. Oh, and then
Leslie Nielsen. There was one.
Leslie
Nielsen
and loving it.
Yes, so
there's
that was that one too.
Oh, but it's gonna bother me, the George Harrison one, because my favorite scene though is like he's trying to scare
and
like,
Lauren Hutton was in that one.
Yeah, and he's flying around the projects or the ghetto, and like this Hispanic couple are like, "Hey, look, get a net. It's a black chicken." You know, sorry for the
There's like, totally
that's how I'm trying to sound. You know, I'm trying to bring you into the theater of the mind. But
well, you know, saying that, I mean, going back in those times, we just were watching Teen Wolf. Another one that's not really a horror, but it deals with a classic
werewolf.
Horror.
That's a comedy that has horror element.
Yeah.
They should have let him kill somebody in that movie just to give it a little danger.
Yeah. No, but we were watching that, and it was funny when you talked about what's
first bite.
Love it first bite.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Love it first bite.
We were watching Teen Wolf, and there was that time when him and Giles were out in there, and he was just telling him about that he was a werewolf and that it was going on. He's like, "What do you got to tell me? You can just tell me anything, unless you're a fag. I don't want to, you know, if you're a fag, I really don't want to."
And I was like, "What?
Yeah, you know? I don't think I can handle it if you're a fag, but I can handle it if you're a werewolf." We were just like, "Wow,
thank you, 1980s.
Teen Wolf. It was shocking. I was like, "Oh my God." And you just forget that was.
I mean,
acceptable,
but it's just, you know.
I was watching.
I don't know.
I was streaming Eddie Murphy's Delirious.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Ross, his very Ross. First, he comes walking right out with a bit about fags, and he's like,
"Oh, he was the faggots
here better not be looking at my ass." And he starts walking, strutting
around. He's wearing that. Was he wearing like the red
leather?
And he talks about Mr. T and all that stuff.
It's just this whole thing, you know, apparently making fun of gay people.
So, I mean, I'm wondering how...
It was the 80s. Yeah,
it was the 80s, and I think if we look at some of those movies, any movie, not just a horror genre, that it would be like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little different
from all over there.
Not excusing it, but I mean, that was how it was. I mean, that's that was the sign of the times.
Lost Boys, elements of comedy in there. A lot of elements of comedy in Lost Boys, as well as a good blend of scares. Player.
It's pure comedy with that guy.
What do you mean comedy? That was my favorite part.
Oh. That was
because Doug, I'm a werewolf.
What about Beetlejuice?
Tim Burton.
That's a classic.
Now, when does it become
much of his whole thing?
When does it become not a comedy? I mean, when does it become a complete comedy? And
that kind of fits in the same category as Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters.
Right.
Yeah, because it's not really
think
scary.
Of those as comedy. That's not scary.
But there's
but it has
severed
a horror
heads.
Element.
There's
It wouldn't qualify as a horror com.
I
would
think
it
would. Ghostbusters?
No, it's a comedy.
Or
I think it falls into it.
What's that?
Horror comedy.
Or
Ghostbusters,
or
we're talking Beetlejuice.
Oh. I guess it does have some bits to it that are kind of
a
scary. Beetlejuice has nothing scary.
But it's a little bit to the comedy. It's more on the comedy side.
It's eerie.
And I like the bits
of
Beetlejuice.
I always think of it as kids watching it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's not scary for me necessarily, but as if you had a 7-year-old watching it, I think it would be, there's some pretty heavy stuff in there. Mm. Ghosts coming back and, you know, being alive in their house. Like, it could be scary.
I like the old lady that works in, like, in the social... She's the social worker for the dead. And she takes that hit off the cigarette. Mm-hmm. And she had her throat slashed or something. And the smoke is coming.
No, it was the hole in her throat from...
Right.
I thought she had her throat slashed. It wasn't just a
smoke. There was...
She had a throat cut.
She had something. I think she, like, cut her wrists or something.
No, that was the receptionist.
That was a receptionist.
No, I think it was. Because, like, a stoma, that's from, like, a different movie.
Yeah, it wasn't like this.
I think it was just because
they talk about it, people that commit suicide do social service in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And so she had to have committed suicide in some way.
So she must have
cut her throat. Yeah, that was the story.
Yeah, that was the bit.
Right, because that's the whole lady in the receptionist. If I knew now what I knew then, I wouldn't have my little accident.
And then there's a person hanging from a noose that comes swinging by drops a paper on somebody's desk.
Then there's a flat guy that goes through like walls or something.
So it's not necessarily scary, but it's so dark. I mean, you're talking about suicide, people being the social workers of the afterlife. And...
The whorehouse was my idea. I want Beetlejuice out of the picture.
You two have really screwed up. I received word that you allowed yourself to be photographed, and you let Beetlejuice out and didn't put him back, and you let Otho get hold of the handbook.
Handbook when?
Never trust the living. We cannot have a routine haunting like yours provide proof that there is existence beyond death.
Coach, where's the men's room?
Yeah.
I'm not your coach. He survived.
By the way, Coach, let me get something straight. What's our curfew around here?
Will you get out of here? All right, get downstairs. Men's room, are you kidding? There's a read signs. I'll be right back.
I saw it listed on The Burbs. I had never
seen
The
that.
Burbs.
I watched that recently.
And that is definitely on the comedy side, but man, that was fun. And when I was watching it, it's only the second Bruce Dern movie I've ever seen, and I looked it up. He has over 150 movies that he's been in, and I've only seen Nebraska because it was Alexander Payne, and then this movie.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
All of his work, you haven't.
No,
you haven't,
I had not seen.
Sure?
I'm pretty sure. Well, as far as I'm aware, reading through the list. And he was awesome in it. I watched him fall off the roof of the house 3 times. Rolled that back. And it made me think, usually every time I hear about them rebooting a movie, I'm like, God, you don't need to reboot that. We already have one. I like it. You know, I don't know that they are remaking this, but I think that movie would be one that I would really be on board of a reboot of that movie, because that movie is so simple.
That's Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. So you should reboot it and have Tom Hanks be one of the creepy old German guys.
He should be the Bruce.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Or Bruce Dern.
But it's just like, it's a very simple story. I think they could do it again and have a a clever writer could probably do a more complex story than really just, oh, wow, they moved in and they killed the people before or what. Spoilers. But, you know, I think that that would be a good – I'd like to see a reboot of that.
Because we talked about this on the Wes Craven retrospective, but Shocker.
Oh, I don't need that.
I know the nerds in nostalgia in Kansas City, they climbed all over my ass when I said I didn't like Shocker. But, I mean, he was trying to be another, you know, Wes Craven was trying to make another Freddy, like another, you know, wisecracking serial killer.
But then after that, they all seem to have taglines.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Freddy every started single it. One.
So we've established that there's different comedy.
Well, and then there's the parody, the straight up parody.
Oh, yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah, the scary movies with Anna Faris, and who's kind of become the new—I mean, not new, but you know what I mean—modern horror comic.
Yeah, and then A Haunted House, the Wayans brothers
did a couple of those, didn't they?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So those are it's exact opposite. It's not a.
It's a
funny horror movie.
It's a parody of a horror show.
So there's we have to be able to classify them differently like that, right?
I'm just not going to. It's either
heavier comedy or heavier.
I think they're solidly horror. In the parody. No,
right.
Parody. Horror.
The horror part is just
right.
I mean,
right.
Christopher Guest needs to do his take on horror in some
way.
Right?
That'd
be great. That's a great idea.
He's never gone into that room, has he?
Speaking of that kind of humor,
mockumentary,
the Things We Do in the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Fantastic movie. Great.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was awesome.
New Zealand vampire movie.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
You know what? You haven't seen it?
It's new. It's newish. New. You know what I mean?
Things We Do in the Dark.
I have it.
You have it?
Yeah.
Zip, please. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
man. Tell them, because it was the guys, Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah,
guys.
Did you ever watch Flight of the Conchords?
Oh, sure.
And it's
what
all the vampires.
Yeah.
It's like a Real World.
Yeah.
But all vampires.
Yeah.
Not all vampires.
So there's like a Lestat. There's like a Nosferatu. There's a Lestat.
Yeah.
Right.
There's
Twilight.
There's a Twilight vampire. Mm-hmm.
And they all are trying to get along and, you know, live in this apartment together. And they, you know, have normal apartment dealings with each other as far as the dishes goes and things happen.
There's supposed to be a spinoff of that with the cops.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I think there may be a TV show, actually.
Wow.
I remember reading about it recently.
That
there was
going to
be a spinoff with the two cops from that.
That came in. Oh, wow.
Huh. Interesting.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, you guys should watch that. It's great.
That's a good one. And that again... It's not necessarily horror.
And it's not a parody.
Right? Yeah, What We Do in the Dark, sorry. And then,
well, it's sort of like a parody of...
Of all the vampires.
But it's like a parody of reality shows.
Right.
Right.
So it's not. There's
not
a ton of gore.
Right.
But you'll find out that, you know, if you watch this, I don't know. Yeah, it's the same type of comedy as I think Christopher Guest would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Very low key.
Probably a lot of improvising going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it's surprisingly hilarious and great.
Yeah.
The whole story actually is.
There's
fun.
One about like, allow me, stay, leave me alone to do my bidding.
Yeah.
And he says, what are you bidding? I'm bidding on this auction. On
like an eBay thing. Funny.
Well, that's clever.
Yeah, it's all like that. So it's just. Vampires. So they should do one with werewolves. Oh, well actually, there are werewolves.
That
they
might be a spinoff,
did.
Too.
Yeah.
That would
be fun.
Because there's the werewolves. What do they say?
They're all. Yeah, I'd have to see it. Now I have to see it again. I'm going to have to go and put that on.
It's hilarious.
Something like Teeth? Remember Teeth?
Teeth. Oh, I remember Teeth.
I saw Teeth, yeah.
Again, is that a. Would that be comical?
Well, there's some funny stuff.
Oh, that's kind of like It Follows, you know, at that point.
It follows had nothing funny in it.
No, it was sad.
I had to turn on all the lights in every room of my house when I watched that last week.
Oh, that's right.
I couldn't.
It Follows?
Yeah, I watched it the other night. And I had, you know, like just to go to the bathroom, I had two empty bedrooms on either side of it. And I had to turn the lights on in both of those.
Because you were wondering who was going to come kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, something's going to come through that window. Oh, man.
What lady from your past was coming to kill you?
Oh, past. We're talking about horror comedies. You derailed us.
You derailed us.
Did you ever see Yoga Hosers?
Yeah.
I watched it recently, yeah.
Okay, I haven't.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I was just thinking of like...
It's fun.
I laughed out loud at Tusk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but that was mocking. I did too, but I was laughing at the movie, not with the movie.
I was so sad to be at that movie. It grossed me out so much.
This is where we are. We are a podcast divided on that. We should do a show on those two movies alone, but we can't because I'm not going to watch
the other one.
Once he
does the third one, once he does
Yoga Hosers, I loved just because the opening sequence is those two girls doing I'm the Man by Anthrax, which was ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. The original's ridiculous. Once he gets the third one out, we can have a show. And we'll have a debate or a fight, about the True North
arm wrestle
trilogy or something.
We'll
like
yeah,
that.
We'll have a throwdown.
We need a
on
YouTube
it.
Channel if we're going to have a fight.
That's right. True. We can live stream it.
We can record sounds. Some podcasts are cool with just sounds.
We should do that sometime. We can live stream our podcast. It'd be fun.
That would be fun.
All right. Well, we talk any more on bones. Horror comedies? We
can we revisit Tucker and Dale? Because we all watched that. Yeah. We all really really liked it.
Did anybody else see Knights of Badassdom?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a really good one about guys that do LARPing.
Yes.
I really enjoyed all the bits about. Arguing about whether the guy's band was black metal or doom metal.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty great because also Deathgasm is all about metal bands too. So
that's right. That's right.
Oh, I tried to watch that and I was trying to exercise at the same time and I couldn't exercise. Like I was yelling I don't know what it was. Like there's something about that movie and I think what it was because it was funny and everything like that. I realized that I have a distaste for the look of metal kids or this the look of, and this might not be what real I don't
grungy
know the authenticity, how authentic it is because I wasn't obviously that kid, but however they're depicted in movies gives me a weird feeling that like I had to turn it off to be able to focus on my exercise.
Yeah.
And even though it's funny and stuff, I was just, I don't like the look of this.
It's a pretty funny movie. It's a pretty funny movie. There's a great bit in there about the witching hour being at 3 a.m. and so being like it's in Australia or New Zealand, but they're like Central Time or neutral, east, like which do the under or do demons?
I remember.
Do the demons observe daylight savings time?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the down under, Black Sheep fantastic movie. Those New Zealanders make great horror films.
Yeah,
great horror films, and this one was hilarious. Black Sheep. It literally is about zombie sheep attacking. They're just coming over the hill.
And they're animatronic sheep. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Black Sheep.
Black Sheep. It's, now, it's if you pretty can funny. Rent this.
The Undead Sheep.
Or if you can get
it's on
the
disc on Netflix.
Mm. Okay. So get it on Netflix on disc if you can. Or find a way to get the behind the scenes, kind of any of the extras, because the extras made the movie for me, basically, because they show what work went into making the, I mean, they used a lot of practical effects for all this stuff. It was great. And it,
because now they have that big Lord of the Rings thing. You know, studio and
Weta Workshop did it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Black Sheep, New Zealander, if you see then New Zealand.
Oh, what was, yeah, that's
Housebound.
Yeah,
we
but
talked
that's not
about
a comedy.
That one.
That's
yeah,
not a comedy.
I hated that one.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I hated it.
I didn't totally hate it, but
that was a,
it,
that was
it
a New
set
Zealander.
Me up for hating the boy.
Oh my God.
What
really?
Is Housebound?
It's you can find that's streaming on Netflix now. Actually,
horror comedy.
Yes, no,
it's
it is not
a comedy.
No, I was using that as a bridge to say New Zealanders make some awesome horror.
Oh, okay,
both non-comedy and comedy. But what you didn't like the boy either? I mean, come on, Lauren was in that. Lauren
well,
Cohen.
Yeah, I like looking at Lauren
that's,
Cohen.
Right, that's all the point I remember.
I wanted to watch a
Lauren
ghost
Cohen's
movie.
In it.
Oh.
I wanted to watch a ghost movie, and I got somebody hiding in the wall, serial killer with a mask movie.
Stupid
well,
kid.
I don't even remember that part. I didn't even remember the movie. I only remember the bits with Lauren Cohen in it. It's weird.
It's weird.
I'll watch just the bits with
Lauren Cohen. Well, because the rest of it sucks.
Excuse me, I'm going to have a deathgasm here in a second, so pardon me.
Nice. I know you wanted to talk about Tucker and Dale a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you guys to help explain. I love that movie, except for the beginning part, right before it really starts with the anchor woman, the found footage type, or it's through the camera.
Right.
Someone gets knocked down, and then they don't return to it until 90 minutes later, and you realize that's the lady. Absolutely lost on me. I thought if I just cut that out because I didn't get it, and I thought that the opening wasn't scary or funny. And it just
it was setting
I almost
it up.
Like I was like, this is not going to be that good. That was what was that? you know. And then it was great. The movie was great, but that beginning wasn't anything. And it didn't
I literally do not remember.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I don't remember that.
She comes out.
There you go.
And she wants to get a Peabody Award, and she's like, "Come on." He's like, "Well, isn't this a crime scene still?" And
something like that. And then he gets hit, knocked down, and then it.
But it's the guy, I can't remember his name, but the frat boy. It's the frat boy that hits.
Yeah,
him.
It's tied into the story of the chat. I think his name was Chad.
Of his parents.
Character, and, yeah. I think it gives you more insight into, him. But it's too complex. It's too far from the beginning. And the beginning, like, isn't that good. I wouldn't have started my movie with that. If I had written that and then I put my movie together, I would have said, I'm going to lose this beginning. And
just
you'll never know that
end.
It's... You wouldn't even really...
You could almost start the movie with a little bit of the flashback of the 80s.
Right.
Kids or the
90s.
The
story that he was telling.
Right.
It would have been a good
It was a
flashback.
Little too clever. That was the only... So, like, people out there, this is a great movie, but playing it after that first scene, because the first scene's kind of lame, but then it's great.
How funny was the whole Roadhead scene?
Yeah.
I forget the Roadhead scene.
The cops come.
Oh,
he spills his beer in his lap, and he's like, "Well, let me get that for you." And then he's like, "Stuck his shirt." His shirt
stuck
on
down
the.
There.
On
it's
kind of
like
the,
vacation where she's stuck under the head.
Right, and his shirt gets stuck on the seatbelt, and he pulls up, and his shirt's off.
Oh yeah,
his
shirt's off,
and he's like, well, "We just need a little bit of man time in the cabin."
Yeah,
rule fishing.
Oh
yeah, still fishing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The bees was for me. The bee parts.
When he comes in, he pours that beer on his face.
Yeah,
he's
using beer as medicine the whole time.
A couple of times. I thought that the actors, the two main actors, were fantastic for people that I hadn't seen in anything else before.
Oh, really?
I had never seen them before. I thought they were fantastic.
You have probably seen Adam Tydick. Sorry, I forgot your name.
I was looking up the guy that played Tucker, and he was in the new Star Wars movie. Apparently.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was the
voice.
He does a lot of voiceovers, but he was in Serenity and.
Oh, he
Firefly.
Was the voice of the robot.
Yeah, and he was in Firefly.
Never seen
Serenity the movie. So yeah, he's
a pilot, right?
Yeah, Wash. Mm-hmm.
I thought they did a great job with the Dick Chad.
Oh God, yeah.
Up on scale with our guy from Friday. 2009.
Trent.
Yeah. They cast that Dick.
What's
really
funny
good.
About that?
He
I like
good.
The fact that they and it wasn't usually it's kind of formulaic and lazy, but you had to have the Dick frat guy. You had to have the hot chicks. You had to have the story around the campfire. And how funny was it when he takes a hit off the joint and then he does his
inhaler.
Well, the thing was kind of turning that. It was kind of one of the first movies to turn that all around. I mean, that and Cabin in the Woods together are two horror movies that really were smart comedy, and they turned around the genre kind of in a different view that we really haven't seen before.
And great sight. I mean, gags gags like.
Of the chipper?
Yeah.
The chipper just killed me.
Yeah. That just
slayed me.
Oh, my God. I could
Straight
not
out
stop
Fargo.
Laughing.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And then,
awesome.
Like, three or four times, there's foreshadowing when he's like, don't hit that beam. Hit that beam. And then the sheriff comes and the beam comes.
The
beam, and
you just know it's all
the nails in the head.
They set some of them they set up, and you just know they set it up, and it's purposeful for you to see that.
Yeah.
And then the other ones you just don't see, like when he's running with the chainsaw because of the bees, and the kid just gets just...
And
he's
like,
looking
what?
Back. He must have been allergic to bees because he was running awful fast.
Should we talk about the people that are listening that haven't seen it? Give them the idea of what the premise is, maybe, to this movie.
One quick thing: we were talking about the actors, Dale.
Uh-huh. Fantastic.
Oh, he was in...
We're going to come back to this, but he was also kind of a veteran of horror, not really horror comedy. It's more of a comedy with a horror edge, but yeah.
So, you know, a quick plot summary. Tucker and Dale are our heroes. They're going to go spend some time... one of them got... Which one's which? I don't remember. But one of them
got a
fishing cabin.
Tucker's the skinny guy.
And they're going to go clean it up, fix up, refurbish this cabin, have a weekend of drinking some tall boys and go fishing. And on the other side of the lake, there's
the kids.
Yeah.
The college kids.
The hot college kids. Mm-hmm. And I like how they're like, yo, you college kid. Hey, college boy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Everything bad happens, and they're two sweet guys apparently, but they just happen to be the typical looking,
just kind of rednecky,
redneck,
typical redneck backwoods looking guys,
but with a heart of gold.
Right? And the preconceptions of the college kids,
the college kids think they're just crazy serial killers.
Random situations that happen, like you know, accidentally cutting into a swarm, a beehive, makes you know Tucker run around with this chainsaw like a freak, and the kids think
there's almost
the kids think these guys are coming after them.
There's almost a pinch of,
and they don't know why the kids are acting so ridiculous. The kids are accidentally killing themselves because of this, and they're like, these kids are just the suicide pact.
It's a suicide pact.
And their mind is blown, and it's just the greatest idea.
These kids are killing themselves.
So well acted,
because there's almost a pinch of Final Destination in it, because like all these deaths just happen from accidents, circumstance. It's like the worst case scenario for all these kids running around the forest, and they trip and they fall, impale themselves on a broken tree branch.
Well, if you look,
this goes right through them.
It's kind of an homage to a lot of different horror movies. They got a cabin. They've got a chainsaw. They've
kids in woods.
Woods,
a lake.
They've got dying college kids.
Teenagers.
Got a lake.
Beer.
Beer.
So sex.
The foreboding stop at the gas station place before they get to their...
Set the stage.
Yeah, totally.
That they're out of their element, you know. That's almost like Texas Chainsaw Massacre when they're at the beginning and they're stopping and then they get the hitchhiker game.
Well, and Mick talking about mixing paying homage to different movies. Cabin in the Woods again. Same thing. They bring in a bunch. So yeah, I mean, those
and
are
next. I think Your Next was funny as hell too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I haven't seen that one. I can never tell if it was a comedy or not. Is it a comedy?
Well, you're laughing by the end of it. There's a big twist and flip around of what's actually happening. By the end of the movie, it's completely twisted around.
Oh, okay.
And she's going after the killers, and you're just like, yeah, you're like laughing and yelling at the.
And one thing we laugh at, and this isn't giving away a spoiler for you that haven't seen it, but there's like this dynamic. There's these fighting siblings in it, and. And there's this scene where the quote-unquote killers are doing their thing, and one like sibling is yelling at the other, "Well, this is all your fault, you know. You're always screwing up." It's pretty funny. I like that part. I remember laughing out loud at that. It's pretty funny. So yeah, so we can mix a little comedy with our horror.
We like it. It makes for good horror and makes for good comedy.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, as a just a little tail end as we tie up this conversation. Zip, Doug, and I went to go see Friday the 13th Part 8 last week at the
Telling
Alamo.
Them in the car on the way.
Speaking of...
So this is funny.
Laughable.
I'm writing an article for FridayThe13th.com right now about seeing these movies again in the theater rather than watching them at home on video or cable. And I remember seeing this movie in 89 in the theater and just thinking like everybody in the theater was bummed. Like, Freddy Krueger was king. And it was like, what a disappointing movie. Like, people were groaning. Well, this is stupid. This, you know, And I have it on video just because I'm a Friday nerd, and I watch it every once in a while, and I'm like, boy, yeah, this just isn't a good...
That's what I was telling them. It never gets any better. I was hoping this movie is not... I was underselling it, but...
But seeing it with you guys and seeing it in the theater with... There was a lot of people there, too.
Yeah.
The bad parts, it's like time, like, you know, eases the wounds, you know? Because there's some things that people were laughing out loud, and I had such a good time.
Because you can drink now.
A couple of parts of the movie, everybody clapped. Everybody applauded. When Julius got his head knocked off,
oh yeah,
everybody clapped. And when the guy that's a dick got killed, everybody applauded for that, too.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. The dick
teacher. Then it becomes like a cult kind of midnight movie thing.
Absolutely. So it was like that, it redeemed itself, and we were able to laugh at it. So now, I don't know if I'll watch it the same way on home video again, but it was just
I couldn't get over the fashion in it. It was 89. It was alive and breathing. 1989, the early 90s, that late 80s, early 90s style of clothes and hair. It's just, it was awesome. I graduated in 89. It was like, that was my senior trip.
Yeah.
Right there. Against the killing.
The nerd kid, the nerd, you know,
the
guy
with the
video camera.
Yeah, the dude with like the one-length hair with the
Buddy Holly
with the
glasses, who everybody wears those now, but
and
at the time,
the
that
the chin-length hair all the way around.
Yeah.
And the cocaine references and just, I don't know, the teacher, all the things with the teacher.
That's
just
like the only drug you see in that movie, really, mm-hmm. right, is coke.
Yeah. It was the 80s. No. There is no other drug.
Heroin. Coke and heroin.
She's on horse. Some smack.
It's like, yeah.
But apparently it doesn't affect her at all.
Yeah,
she's over it in like an hour. It's like, wow, man.
No big deal.
Terrible stuff.
Fast acting.
And then Jason stops the rape that was going to happen, so he's like the hero.
He's a hero.
Part of it before he goes and tries.
And there was a funny scene, too, where there's like a billboard for a hockey game, and it's like the exact same mask he's wearing, and he stops and looks at it and turns the camera.
Yeah, and then there's that lame bit where like he kicks the ghetto blaster out of the kid's hands or whatever. Yeah. And then they're like, hey, man, they got a butterfly knife or whatever. And he just lifts his mask up. And you don't see the reveal. But they're like, oh, it's cool, man. It's cool.
That was funny.
See?
And you know, because that was rap. Wasn't it playing rap? It was like hip hop.
Grandmaster Flash.
The 89 crowd that would have saw that would have been like, yeah, rap sucks. Woo. You know damn well it was like a crowd pleaser.
Right. Destroy the rap because they use the flying V guitar. Mm-hmm. So a movie that wasn't intended probably to be funny over the years has become pretty, at least
with the crowd, it was funny.
With the crowd where you can drink in the theater.
Oh, God bless us all.
Yeah, right.
Makes every movie
you can
better.
Always drink in the theater, actually.
That's true.
Right. There's that.
Do. Horror comedy.
So what do we got next?
Hey, everybody. It's time to take Doug to school. Now please take your seats.
Okay. So guys, I believe last time, if I remember correctly, I chose my own, and I wanted to do the movie Suspiria by Dario Argento.
Argento, yeah.
And it seemed like none of you guys had seen it. Am I right?
That's correct.
Seen this. Okay. I've heard about this movie a ton from like Attack of the Killer podcast, mostly, and in other places. This is a classic, it seems like. So I wanted to check it out. And I tried to, but, and this is the thing, it is a really cool movie. What I have is the music is awesome. It's by his band called Goblin. He was in a band called Goblin. And the music is fantastic.
What kind of band?
I couldn't tell you because I don't have any other records. I just tell you the music is spooky. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, is it like
kind of chimey?
Okay, is it like rap, pop, disco?
Well, this is from the 70s, this movie. No, it's not. No, I don't know what the band does. This is all
instrumental. Soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's kind of
listening to it
synthy.
Right now.
put some in.
Okay? I am right now. You can hear it.
All right, really great music. I can give you that. The problem with this movie, for me, and it was cool, but like I don't know why. Or maybe I had a bad disc. I got it from Netflix. I assume that they have the most recent kind that you can get. But it was mixed so poorly that the music and any sound effect we're talking like 5 decibels louder than any dialogue.
Ah.
Constant writing of the remote. And it said it had subtitles, but when I press the subtitle button, none would come up. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't, and the story involves a kind of a mystery at a ballet academy, and there's a murder and stuff like that. And so I just got so frustrated with, once I got to the scene where two people were whispering to each other with music playing, and I couldn't read what they were saying about a mystery, I was like, I'm out, I can't do it.
I'm out, I don't even know.
Yeah,
it was a total mystery to you.
It's a complete mystery.
It remains a mystery.
It looked really cool. A lot of the shots kind of look like they were kind of Kubrick, the big rooms and stuff like that, but I couldn't finish it. So
you took like an incomplete for this class.
Yeah. I dropped
zero.
I dropped this one.
You dropped it.
But I think it was a good story and stuff. Now they are remaking this one. I'm sure it will be mixed better. They were making it with this Dakota Johnson. I think she's the gray Shades of Gray girl.
Oh, okay.
And the Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh,
and Tilda Swinton. She would probably be the one of the teachers at the ballet school. So I'm excited to see that because I couldn't. Because
you'll be able to hear
original.
What they're saying.
Right. Yeah, I stopped with that, and then because we were doing the comedies, I saw Night of the Creeps was streamable.
Classic.
Yeah, and that was one that I've heard about a lot too. I was like, Night of the Creeps, I want to watch that, and I love that. That was really great. That had freaking. At Russ from European Vacation is the lead in this. I hadn't seen that guy in another movie ever. And so that was cool. And Todd Atkins is awesome in it.
And we actually interviewed.
Did you interview Tom Atkins?
No. Wait. This is Night of the Creeps.
Yes.
Never mind.
Okay. The only thing that was weird about that, and this is part of like, I don't know if it just didn't age as well or not, but like whenever Tom Atkins came on, it was like, all of a sudden, it's almost like a whole different writer was involved. Like, he had way better lines. He's like, thrill me. You know, just...
Really?
And all stuff. While all these other guys, all their lines were cheesy, you know, corny.
Do you think that was like an actor diva thing?
Yeah, I'm like, not a diva thing. I think, is he just that good that he wrote his own lines that were way better than
the
writer?
Improvised the whole thing?
Because he is awesome when he's on there, and his lines are way better than everybody else's. So I just noticed. But it was cool because he just... took control of that movie. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down that it had really good slug effects. There's slugs that come and they just stayed in people's bodies, you know, and then they shoot them and they come out of their heads. And these things were probably, you know, they're practical slugs because this thing's from like 1986.
Nice. Right.
And they're zipping through the grass and all over the place and you can't see any strings or any fishing line or anything like that. So I watched that instead and I was very happy with that. And so I recommend it. And Suspiria, I would like you guys to... Anyone, you guys should try it and let me know. Maybe you'll get a better version of it or something like that.
Maybe right. Maybe if there's a streaming version or something,
yeah,
it'll be
maybe.
Mixed
definitely
better?
Have to have. You definitely have to. You would have to have the subtitles so that you can turn that on and just keep it low. And you won't really hear them talking. You'll hear the music perfectly.
Right.
But Night of the Creeps was done by the same guy that did Monster Squad.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Same director.
That's very good.
Which is great. Heather Nyme, my wife, who doesn't watch horror movies, watched that with me, and that was a lot of fun.
It's a sweet movie.
She watched Tucker and Dale with me, too, so she's coming around.
Yes, she is. Yeah, because that one was pretty intense. I mean, funny, but
yeah, get her into the horror comedies.
Your Night of the Creeps, did you look at the movie poster? It's a great, 1986 movie
she's
poster.
She's got the flamethrower.
It's just like an advertisement, so it's got quotes at the top. The good news is, your dates are here. The bad news is they're dead. and then it has a of course a drawing of a scene. So not even real pictures. Of course they do the drawings of the paintings.
Yeah.
Night of the Creeps, and then at the end the tagline. So there's a quote and a tagline. If you scream, you're dead.
Oh.
I don't know how much I get from that. Looking at this movie, you think it would be more of a zombie film. But it's creepy.
It is. They're zombies, but they're zombies because they have these slugs gestating inside of them.
All a slither.
Yeah. It's zombies. Like that. You know, the beginning of that movie starts with a whole thing where like there's these little people, aliens on a ship, and they got guns and they're fighting. They're like, don't let that. They have like a big case that has the virus in it or whatever. And like, if it gets off the ship, everything's doomed. And it gets down, it lands, you know. And that's how. And then some people, like in the 50s, like some kids on Lover's Lane find the meteor, you know, the guy. Yeah. And then, God, I'm remembering it now. And he's frozen. he's been crypted, whatever you call that. He's been Walt Disney'd and stuff. And they thaw him out.
He's been Walt Disney'd.
Actually, that was a funny part about Walt Disney because when they see the guy frozen in, what is it called?
Cryogenically
frozen. Like
carbonate.
Yeah, like they're looking at it, and the one kid's like, "What is that?" And then, the Russ from European Vacation goes, "Walt Disney. How do I know?" And and then, which is a reference to that, to the myth that he is Walt Disney is frozen. But then, the other guy goes, "Oh, I know what this is," and goes on to explain the whole idea behind cryogenic freezing to the guy who obviously knows about the Walt Disney.
Right. Myth. It's like, well,
you know, he just said that line. and then is getting schooled about what he obviously shouldn't know.
I never heard that Walt Disney.
He's getting mansplained.
You haven't heard of that?
No. I don't remember it.
Really did he? That's the
it's an urban
that's like
legend.
An urban legend.
It's like Ted Williams. Did Ted Williams freeze his head? That's what I've heard that too. The baseball
that's
player?
Right.
I don't know that.
Well, I guess. Okay.
But, oh, that was just an urban legend that Walt Disney was cryogenically frozen someplace. Maybe even kept at Disneyland.
He is.
I'm sure it's all on the internet.
Right? That's
that's
legit.
A horror movie right there for that's Walt legit. Disney to be all of a sudden something happens.
I think there's misunderstanding what Disney on Ice means.
So confused.
So
frozen.
So what you guys are, I already forgot what you guys, you had a suggestion for my next one, and I was on board with it.
You were on board with it because it was
Puppet Master.
Puppet Master.
I want you to watch that one.
Totally heard of it and never seen it. So we'll do Puppet Master next.
Puppet Master next.
I can't wait.
When Doug goes to school.
I liked it.
All right.
It's a little sad.
Oh.
But not tons of sad, just a little sad.
Happy cry?
It's not sad.
It's a little. Sorry.
A little.
Never mind.
Like the puppy dies?
So
not that sad.
No, that's
a little sad.
The baby dies.
Yeah.
Well,
baby. The newborn baby.
No.
Dies.
Not true.
Choking on a puppet.
They're kind of ugly anyway.
Now get your popcorn and your candy as we go to the movies with Wayne and Lori in He Dead, She Dead, a drive home movie review.
We went and saw a movie.
What'd you see?
What'd you guys see?
We saw Split, and we did a... we've done this before as a separate show, but we wanted to have a bit, too, and we thought, oh, so a lot of times we go and we go do these drive-home reviews that we've done as part of these smaller bits, which we'll continue to do those, too. But in this one, we're going to call it He Dead, She Dead, the drive-home review of Split. So I'm not going to tell you anything about it yet. It's an M. Night one. And everybody knows how much of a big fan I am of M. Night and how everybody else who doesn't like M. Night just doesn't get it. So that I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a pretty good because there was a few of these horror films that came out in succession since Halloween last year. Things like It Follows and all that. There's a big. Lot of horror movies that come out. Mm-hmm. And this one was more of a suspense than I would say horror.
Right. Yeah.
But again,
which he's
M.
really
Night,
good at.
We're waiting for the kind of turn and twist.
So here's the big thing. So we go to a party after this and Zip's there. Zip's like, there. Oh yeah, Mindy and I saw it. And I was like, oh my God. And then he drops a bomb and blows my mind.
And then, so we're talking about the twist ending. It's a little different than your standard twist. I'm like, well, it's an origin story. This is a spoiler.
Oh, they're all spoilers. All
right. Yeah. It's already spoiled.
Yeah, right. Spoiled.
Okay.
Spoiled.
Well, this will make it rotten. It's an origin story for a new villain for Unbreakable. For the character of Dunn, whatever Dunn, I can't remember his first name.
Samuel
Bruce
L.
Willis's
Jackson.
Character. Bruce Willis's character.
Bruce.
His name is Dunn.
Dunn, yeah.
His
Dunn,
last name.
Something like David Dunn, Donald Dunn, Donald Duck
like
Dunn. But anyway, so it ends with when the credits hit, it ends with this diner scene where they're talking about the character, James McAvoy's character of Kevin and the Beast and all other 23 of his personalities, how they've named him they named him the Horde. The police are calling him the Horde. And this woman says, didn't they make up some name for a guy like 15 years ago that they sent upstate? And all of a sudden, and then like Bruce Willis is sitting next to her and says, Mr. Glass.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it ends with this scene with Bruce Willis in the diner kind of like looking stoic and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, so I actually found an interview with M. Night that says that is the case, that this character was actually written. He had wrote this character of Kevin in to Unbreakable, but he decided he didn't like having three major characters. So he just took all that out and everything that he had wrote for that guy was what they used to make Split.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. If DC comic movies,
so that means
that advice.
So that means there is going to be another sequel, hopefully.
Well, this movie,
the Beast versus.
So it would be Split, Unbreakable, or no, it would be Unbreakable, then Split.
Right? Yeah.
Like a trilogy.
Split's like a side story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice. And I was just looking at the box office for this weekend. I think, I can't remember exactly what it took to make the movie, 10 million, something like that.
Yeah.
10, 15. Remember. It made 40. I mean, it's a bona fide hit. It was number one this weekend.
Yeah.
I have a couple things I want to mention about
the
movie.
First, there wasn't anything else
really
that came out.
Probably talked about the actors.
Everybody was out.
James McAvoy is probably best known as being Professor X in the more recent X-Men movies. Anna Taylor-Joy, most people know her as her character Casey, but she's from the movie The Witch.
Oh, right, yep.
She's the main girl in The Witch. And I thought what was interesting was the woman that played Dr.
Really?
Fletcher. I really liked her. Her name's Betty Buckley.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I looked it up, and she was on Eight Is Enough. She was the second mom on Eight Is Enough. Mm-hmm. Like, after the first mom died, she came to be, like, the love interest for the dad and then got married and became the
Dr. Pulaski.
But also, she is the gym teacher in the movie Carrie.
Right.
At the beginning of Carrie.
Oh, that's right.
The remake or the original? Mm-hmm.
The original.
Jeez.
Don't forget Mr. Tomness.
Wow.
That was one of his personalities.
What?
It wasn't a personality.
It was another movie. Narnia, he was.
Oh.
Yeah, he was Mr. Tomness, the fawn.
Well, I can't wait to see this.
It's
I was trying to remember where I knew her from, and I didn't. Of course, I was
IMDb. I knew Carrie,
but no, I forgot about Eight Is Enough. Yeah. I forgot that there was two moms. Eight Is Enough. I used to watch that all the time for some reason. I don't remember any of them, but I would remember them if I saw them, but. Yeah. So I thought she did a great job.
Yeah.
Like, and I think I mentioned that too. I mean, I thought the acting was just really good, and I really enjoyed the fact that he doesn't pander and make everything such
he
a
doesn't
tell.
Doesn't spell it all out for you and give you memos and
one other thing I found interesting. We saw it on Friday night at a theater here in Omaha, and I was looking around at all the groups of people sitting around us. And I told my fiance, I said, you know, this movie is about three teenage girls that get abducted. Everybody in this theater is a group of three teenage girls.
Oh my God. Really?
Maybe four, but almost always just like three or four girls together.
A Zip stands up, zips up his hoodie and pushes his glasses up through his nose. Takes out his little can of spray.
Puts on his gloves.
What is that spray? What the heck kind of spray? Is that some
knockout spray?
Like,
come on.
Spray.
Didn't you watch Scooby-Doo?
Here, I'll show you later.
Batman
66.
Exactly.
Here, smell this.
Smell it.
Does this rag smell like chloroform?
Yeah.
That was the way it was.
I thought maybe it was going to be like silver spray paint like on Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Witness.
Now, I thought it was kind of, I was kind of rooting for her to not get that at the beginning, get the spray in the face, because she sat there and it was like, wow, she's just playing it smart. She's going to do this. I can't. Oh, no. But the thing was, it never did get not smart with the girls, I thought.
Right.
They did pretty much what you would hope they would do.
Right. They weren't idiots.
And you were really rooting for the main character, you know, to use her tenacity or her trauma to be able to play his game.
Right.
And but then I really every time I tried to call something, like I was going to call that she was going to have she's all of a sudden going to be like and then get badass, like she's got another personality that was the personality of the little girl that shot, you know, maybe shot the uncle or whatever. Yeah.
Though I did have some, you know, concerns about glorifying, you know, some issues, cutting and things like that. I felt like there was some glorification of things that I was a little like, I don't like that at all.
Well, they had to give information without really telling it out loud. I think that's what they were doing. I mean, it was pretty severe. I mean, it was like scars all over, you know, she was a cutter, but you know, not being
a
cutter.
I mean, for a reason, for sure, but it was just, I don't know. I'd be interested if you guys wanted to see it. I'd be interested to hear your take on it.
No,
you know?
I'll definitely go see it.
Yeah, we can do a Shyamalan show.
Shyamalan.
I don't even know.
I forgot about Unbroken.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
I'm not Shyamalan.
Unbreakable.
Shyamalan.
Unbreakable.
in the village, and
right.
Signs is great.
Yeah. That's one I haven't seen yet. I've got that one coming up in my queue pretty soon. I haven't seen Signs.
I love all of his movies, actually.
Sixth Sense. I mean, that's like his most famous.
I think he's a thoughtful filmmaker.
Airbender.
Yeah.
I loved the Airbender movie. I did, too.
You're the only one.
Suck it, everyone. Suck it.
I think his original stuff, like, you know, I think his stuff's it's very thoughtful. I mean, I don't know too much about, like, why some things underperform at box offices and things like that. So,
yeah.
No, you don't.
You
I think he's a 50-50. I think it's either you like him or you just don't, you know? Yeah.
Well, he's arguably made one of the best horror dark movies of the 20th century.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, The Visit, come on. The Visit had a scene in there that put every real horror thing.
I was
scary.
Thinking about the other one.
No, know, the, what?
The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
No, The Visit. Sense. Oh yeah. I'm
but sorry. The Sixth Sense was his best. I see dead people. Come on, that's the best.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see Devil, which he produced and wrote, I believe, but didn't direct?
Probably my least
favorite.
Talked
about on the show.
It's my least favorite.
I did. Yeah.
Oh, I like that one.
You weren't listening.
I never listen to myself.
Or to Zip. We just don't listen to Zip.
Even more so to Zip.
In fact, he's not really in the room. He records it. He pre-records all his parts first. Right. Yeah. And then Brian edits it in afterwards.
Through the magic of digital editing.
Can we do
editing.
That, actually?
Yeah.
That'd be a lot more convenient.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of Zip's opinion...
And now... It's time for what we've all been waiting for. It's time for Zip. Unzipped, unzipped, unzipped.
So I got to see a movie that I really wanted to see this summer, and that's The Shallows.
I know what you watched this summer.
Yeah, I had planned to go see it. Brian saw it in the theater. And
I saw
told
it.
Me that he liked it.
I certainly did.
And so my girlfriend and I decided we wanted to go see it. And when we get to the theater, 1 week after it came out, we get to the theater. And they decided they were not going to show it anymore.
Oh, sorry, man. Folks. Park's sorry. Closed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Park's closed.
So I'd been meaning to see it for a long time. I put it on my DVD list. The Shallows, rated PG, starring Blake Lively as Nancy. I really liked it.
I thought it was the perfect B-summer popcorn movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My mother-in-law gave it to me on Blu-ray for Christmas.
Nice.
Bless her heart. Nice. I love them. I was like, it's great.
I don't know if I'd put it at a B.
You know what I mean? Low. Like the summer monster.
Sure, but right. I wouldn't categorize it with B-movies.
Okay.
This was not a B-movie, I thought.
No,
I thought
no,
this
no.
Had some intelligence
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly. And
strong female lead.
I thought my favorite thing about it was just the absolute beauty of everything on the screen. I mean, Blake Lively's mm-hmm. lovely, but just that, I don't know where they filmed it, but I want to go there.
Yeah.
Because it looked freaking amazing. And all the footage of the waves and the wipeouts, there's a great slow-mo crash that she does where she gets all tore up on the coral or whatever, mm-hmm. and that it looks great. I really also, the thing I thought was cool was when she's having like the cell or the FaceTime conversations.
Yeah.
The way that appeared on the screen, it mm-hmm. kind of reminded me of some of the episodes of Black Mirror.
And Sherlock. They used to do
I haven't seen that, but do you do a lot of that?
Yeah, like in the very first season, and all throughout it, every time there's a text come up, you see him looking at it, and it's a graphic
it appears
that comes
on the screen.
Up. Yeah, on screen. So I like that effect.
I noticed that a little bit. I had just saw Zombieland for the first time recently, and so there's a lot of that too, where like things are popping up on the screen and
oh yeah,
or flipping down and that kind of stuff. So
the
I thought it was good.
It was
no, I thought Shallows was good, but I thought that the shark looked like shit.
Yeah,
I thought it looked so just it was, but it didn't bother me too much. But I just didn't enjoy the effects.
Well.
It was a little ridiculous at that point.
I loved it when the two guys with the GoPro camera on their head.
Yeah.
That shark attack scene was...
That was cool.
Yeah. That was dope.
But later in the movie, like when she's swimming to the, you know, having the chain pull her to the bottom and...
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff with the shark, it was just like, this is a little too CG. It's a little too
George And yet Lucas the first play. Time it comes up in Jaws, it's actually still scary now every time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. But was that wasn't... Did you look that up and see if that was mechanical or was
No, I didn't.
It was all CGI or was it?
It was all CGI.
It would have to be CGI. Yeah.
It was filmed in New South Wales, Australia.
It was beautiful.
See? Australia.
And I think there's a lot of... There's, yeah, the
it was supposed to be Mexico, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cinematography. I love the drunk Mexican guy on the beach that's passed out the next day and she's trying to get his attention. And I'm like, I kept waiting for somebody to steal her stuff. Like, I thought the first two guys at the beginning were going to steal her stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. And then and he's like, well, I'm going to go pawn that surfboard. And he goes out there and swims after it. And
I thought he was in awfully shallow water to be get hit by a shark that big. Because he was still standing up, wasn't he?
Yeah, but they say most shark attacks happen under 4 feet of water.
Yeah,
but not by a lot of small sharks. On very small sharks.
Yeah, it'd be small sharks.
Like Biddy, like goldfish-sized sharks.
He's a good swimmer. What do you want?
The guppy sharks.
But I love, you know, because what I liked about it, too, is I watched, and we talked about this on our shark show that we had last summer.
Yeah.
I love watching, like, all that Air Jaws and Discovery Channel Shark Week stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And there was actually, and people were in the theater when I saw it at the Alamo, and people were like, what is she doing? Getting on the dead whale, you know? But there was those scientists. They're like, well, I'm going to get this shot of the great white feeding on the... And so what's the guy do? He goes off on this slippery, blubbery, oily, stinky carcass of a whale floating out in the Atlantic or wherever it was, and just to get that shot. And I'm like, well, that's not that far-fetched because I just saw it on the Discovery Channel.
Right.
Some guy swimming out. Yeah.
So was that supposed to be like whale blubber that was flammable that she lit?
Well,
was
you know,
that
yeah.
Coming from the whale?
Highly flammable.
Yeah, whale blubbers.
I don't know if that was actually, that's what she ignited was whale blubber, I guess.
Back when they were killing lots of whales, they used their, that was like the oil
lamps.
Oil lamps, yeah. That was like one of the main
things. If you smoke around a blue whale at all, like at SeaWorld, it'll explode immediately. Signs everywhere, I swear.
Plankton everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right. Yeah, very noxious farts they have. Certainly don't want
Grandpa's oxygen tank and blue whales, you don't want
blue whales. It's a danger. It's a serious concern.
You don't want to smoke around either one. But you know what? Let's give it up for Blake Lively because, you know... Obviously, there was part of me that just would. I went to the movie because I'm like, well, yeah, Blake Lively in a bikini for 90 minutes. How bad could it be? But she gets the shit kicked out of her that whole time. It ain't glamorous. And she's
cut on her leg.
And she carries the movie. She did great. I
wondered what they're going to do for 90 minutes of a girl stuck in the water.
Like Tom Hanks and.
Castaway.
Castaway.
Yeah. No, she's talking to the bird like it was Wilson, the volleyball. Mm-hmm. But I thought she did a tremendous job. She carried the whole movie, and I thought she was fantastic. She's got chops. She's got acting chops.
So it's like it's kind of a survivor story, more so than the killer shark story.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Great.
Survivor. Yeah.
Great summertime movie.
Whee!
That is one satisfying episode of the Necronomicon.
Back here at the Brian Corey Castle of... Keyboards.
Keyboard castle here.
I know we're still cold. It's here in January. So, thanks a lot, you guys, for listening to the Necronomicast.
Season 7.
That's right. Season 7. Like us on Facebook and share. We're going to try and get the word out more this year. Year 4. Year 7. We just said 7. I was thinking 4. But we're going to try and get the word out more. So share it. We're going to have some contests going on. Plus, of course, coming into the summer... Oh, yeah. We have lots of surprises lined up for you, and I have no idea what they're going to be.
Neither do I.
Till next time, my name is Wayne.
Oh, this is Lori.
This is Zip.
This is Brian.
This is Doug.
And thank you for listening.
College kid.
College kid.
These kids are killing themselves.
Kids are killing themselves.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a podcast hosted by a bunch of bloodbags and produced by Brian Corey and Wayne Brecky. For show notes and other interesting information, go to the show page at necronomicast.com. And until next time, find something better to do with your time.